most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Beast of the Planet, it's Tuesday!
Yes, it's Tuesday.
And I walk into the radio station this morning and it's a big-ass extendo blunt.
What's that? Over there? For real?
Yes, full of marijuana. Rolled horribly, by the way.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't look like good weed. This I can tell by the way it's rolled.
This is definitely a Negro's radio station.
It was just sitting there?
Listen, man, too many rappers.
There's cups in here, all kind of stuff.
Too many rappers and stuff come through this piece, B. This is, look how long this blunt is.
That looks
you know
disgusting.
How high you got to be just to roll this long-ass blunt and then just leave it here?
It's a little wobbly.
And the weed smells like trash. How you roll a whole extendo clip full of garbage?
Goodness gracious.
No high grade at all.
My goodness.
But
all
thank
right.
you.
thank you. You gonna smoke that?
No, I'm not
never.
Gonna smoke
that.
I'm gonna give it away.
You don't know whose that is.
I'm gonna give it away to somebody as a gift.
If you know what I know, you throw that in the garbage.
Maybe one of the interns.
Yeah,
they do a good job
today. You cannot
today.
Give no interns no weed.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe one of the board ops if they do a good job today.
Yeah. My goodness. All right, well. Did anybody watch the Republicans last night in Cleveland?
I watched some of that Klan rally. Mm. No disrespect to all the Republicans out there, you know what I'm saying? But last night, that one in Cleveland looked like a Klan rally. And when you got, what was that representative name? What's his name? Stephen? I want to say his name's... It's not Stephen King. It can't be Stephen King. Stephen King is the author.
Author, yeah.
What's his name?
Steve King.
Oh, it is Steve King. Okay. Yeah, when you got him out there saying that no other race has contributed anything to America other than white people.
Yeah, I seen that.
Yeah, it's hard to convince me. Hard to convince me that's not a Klan rally.
Yeah, that sounded crazy.
And everybody, of course, is talking about Melania Trump's speech.
Oh, she need to come to the front of the congregation this morning.
Yeah, she just going to bite like that? Just like that.
I'm not going to lie. It was hard for me to watch the Republican National Convention. I'd be in and out. Like, once I see Steve King say something like that, then I turn away. Then I come back, see Giuliani up there talking his dangerous, toxic rhetoric. I turn away. Then you come back, see Melania Trump, you know, just plagiarizing Michelle Obama. You turn away. It's just like, we really live in a spoof world right now. This isn't even real what's going on out here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, it seems like a satire.
Oh, and Omarosa Manigault is the head of African Affairs for Donald Trump. Yeah, what's the exact title?
Yeah, she's the outreach.
HNIC.
Outreach person, yeah.
Head of Black Outreach.
She's the director of African American Outreach.
So crazy.
Okay, all right. When is Omarosa ever outreached black people in any way, shape, or form?
When is Donald Trump? So it makes sense.
Is this a strange world we live in? I'm just waiting for the aliens to come, bro. I just need the aliens to come and humble us all out. Let us know that we're all just ants in the bigger scheme of things.
Well, we do have a special guest joining us this morning.
Who we got this morning?
Denzel Washington.
No, Denzel Washington is not coming.
Why would you
lie
like that? Why? Okay, Melania Trump. You just going to sit get on the radio and lie for no damn reason?
I didn't steal nobody's stuff. I just lied.
You
There's
lied.
Difference.
No, it's not. Denzel probably is going to be somewhere this morning, but he ain't here. So why would you lie
almost
like that?
Well, all right, well, his son will be joining us.
His sperm.
His son
not
is,
his sperm.
His son is
so
on Ballers.
Now, that's not a lie. Denzel Washington's sperm and Pauletta's ovaries will be here this morning. It takes sperm and ovaries to make a baby, right?
Yeah, but the sperm, what?
Whatever. This scene
anyway,
will be here this morning.
Yeah, Ricky from Ballers, okay, is who he plays. That is Denzel Washington's son, yes. His name is John David Washington.
Yeah, so we'll kick it with
there
him in a
go.
Little bit, all right? Well, let's get
show,
the show
cracking. Show this young man some respect.
There you go. Front page news.
We are going to talk about Melania Trump's speech, and everybody was comparing it to Michelle Obama's. It's eerily similar.
Eerily similar? No, she copied it word for word.
Definitely copied. We'll get into it when we come back. Keep it locked. Here's Riri.
Work.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, let's talk about Melania Trump.
Well, yes, she gave her speech last night at the Republican National Convention, and there was a lot of plagiarism in that speech. Apparently, she really enjoyed Michelle Obama's address to the Democratic National Convention that was back in 2008. A lot of people did side-by-side comparisons, and we have
bad.
That for you.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values, like you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
My parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
Imitation is the best form of flattery, right? No, imitation is imitation. If you're trying to make America great again, so you say, and you don't think America is great now, then why are you taking from them great speeches and trying to make them yours?
That's horrible. Right? That is horrible.
Jesus Christ. You can't take somebody else's blueprint and trace it, but then defecate on their blueprint and present the same blueprint and say, hey, mine is better. You know what this reminds me of? What? Wasn't Donald Trump in those Domino's pizza commercials? Or Papa John's? He was like, no, I'm going to give you two pizzas for $10. And the guy was like, I got two pies for $10. He goes, no, I'm going to give you two pizzas for $10. This is exactly what Melania Trump did with Michelle Obama's speech. They hate the Obamas, but then they imitate them.
Well, hold on, we got more.
That you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them.
That you treat people with respect. They taught and showed me values and morals in their daily life. That is a lesson that I continue to pass along to our son. And we need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow.
And Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation.
Well?
Yeah. So I guess she really liked that speech a lot and has a lot of the same values as Michelle Obama.
She does. Listen, you can't sit here and defecate on the Obama administration and say you want to make America great again, but then copy their speech word for word.
And then she said she wrote the speech.
This is like...
Has she gone over the speech with you? Did you practice it on the plane?
I read once over it, and that's all, because I wrote it and with a little help as possible, so...
She had a ghostwriter.
This is like when 50 slandered Ja Rule for singing and destroyed him for singing, but then started singing himself. Like, you can't slander this administration, you know, say this administration is no good and you want to make America great again, but then you're imitating their words.
Well, it worked out for 50.
It definitely worked out for 50.
It did work for 5th.
Man, it looks like it's working for these guys, too, right?
And nah, like you said
yes,
earlier.
Yes, it is. Life is a spoof, bro.
They got to stop.
It's over. It's not going to
stop.
They play too much.
They got to stop.
And like you said earlier, Omarosa is now the director of African American Outreach.
Oh, drop one of Clue Bombs for Omarosa Manny Goat.
Why are you dropping bombs for? Take that bomb
back. She got a real black name.
She announced that news yesterday, and she said she's very proud to serve in her new role. She said it's really an extension of the work that the coalition has already been doing because she also is vice chairman of the National Diversity Coalition for Donald Trump.
If it wasn't for her personality, it'd be really hard not to root for a sister with that type of name. Omarosa Manny Goat. I'm from North Carolina, South Carolina. You know how many Manny Goats I know? I used to have a teacher named Miss Manny Goat, okay?
Really?
Yes, I did. She had mad kids, so it was a bunch of Manny Goats. It's hard not to root for that name. But the person attached to that name, garbage.
All right. Well,
she follows me on Twitter, too. She liked the tweet I put out yesterday. I think that she thought I was giving her props.
That's part of her African-American outreach.
That's part of her. You're right. She did. It started yesterday. She actually liked one of my tweets yesterday.
I tweeted,
Omarosa Manny Goat. I said, she must be from South Carolina with a name like that. And she liked it. So, yes, that's part of her African-American outreach. It started yesterday.
It's working.
Maybe she just started following me yesterday, too, because I never noticed that she follows me on Twitter.
Do you watch the people that follow you?
Yes, I do. I pay attention. I pay attention to the spirits that are creeping, watching what I'm doing.
Well, famous Melania Trump quotes is also trending. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at that yet on Twitter, but pretty funny things.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you have a little two-year-old and he bust your lip last night when you were sleeping and came in your room. I got a busted lip. I'm a little crazy. But tell him why
your two-year-old is strong.
His headbutt. He headbutt me. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. And you know what makes me mad? Ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell him why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning. It's Anthony from Philly. What's going on, y'all?
Anthony, tell him why you mad.
I am pissed off.
Why?
Well, number one, I'm in the United States Navy, and I hold my family very near and dear to me. All my brothers are in the Army. And to know that Donald Trump could be our commander-in-chief, his wife making a total buffoon of herself. Like, I don't feel like this life is real right now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
in the
Twilight Zone.
Listen,
we are literally in the Twilight Zone.
There's nothing that the Wayans wrote for In Living Color, nothing that Neil Brennan and Dave Chappelle wrote for Chappelle's Show that is funnier than what's going on in America right now.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And we got to laugh
but
to keep from crying.
But it's very
disappointing. No, I ain't laughing. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up? This is Will from D.C., man.
Tell him why you're mad, bro.
Actually, I'm not mad. Showing a little positivity.
Okay.
See the God.
What's up,
see the God. Everybody who actually know you say the same thing. You the man to call if you need a job, and you just do wonderful things for your friends and the community. No, I mean, no, I don't need a job. I'm just saying, you know, everybody who just like Charlamagne that I hear are people who just hear what he say or do stuff he do. But everybody who actually know him and have interaction, they do number big the man up. So, you know, I want to publicly give you some love, bro.
I appreciate that,
okay.
My brother.
Charlamagne, you giving out jobs?
Nah, I don't do nothing for nobody. But I do feel like, you know, we got to start empowering each other. That's the biggest problem that we see going on out here right now. We don't really got nothing. You know what's so funny?
What's that?
You hear black people say, you got to spend with our own. On what?
I say it all the time. Where can I go?
We don't got nothing.
Where can I go?
Don't say that. That's not true.
We don't.
We have nothing.
So we got to start creating stuff.
Where's their bank, a black-owned bank?
Where's a black-owned grocery store?
There's the Carver Bank that's in Brooklyn.
No, you don't
believe they have one in Manhattan also.
You do have a few black banks, but not enough. We don't have no grocery stores.
I don't know. I live in Jersey. I don't know. What about black grocery stores?
That's I actually met somebody the other day who owns a few grocery stores in Brooklyn.
Well, what's his name?
It's like a chain of stores in
You should
Brooklyn.
Know that off the top of your head.
No, I just met him. I mean, it's not something that I normally research, but I go to black-owned restaurants all the time.
We all
go to black-owned
black-owned
stores. I use a lot of black designers over the weekend
when I went out to party.
I use this girl from Brooklyn who's a designer. I wore her clothes and tagged her in it. I do it all the time.
Well, that's what we need to do.
Charlamagne both wear black on stuff all the time.
All the time.
Sir Fresh
all day.
Right, my guy from Planet Brooklyn, he owns a store there. I shop there all the time. I did a little capsule clothing line with him.
And by the way, that's not being racist.
Nope.
That's just...
But
support
I definitely
your own.
Support. I go to
Empower
all. Listen, I go to Footprints in Brooklyn. I go to Mango.
Well, we all go to black-owned restaurants.
Right. So don't say that we
Western
have nothing.
But that's very far and few.
What? We have a lot of restaurants.
We don't have anything that can help us survive.
Mm-mm.
In case like the bottom falls out here in America, which could quite possibly happen real soon.
I just
soon.
Don't want to promote that we have nothing.
Empower your own.
But we need to get more. That's
very
all.
Far
a
few.
Lot more. Can't just be entertainment and athletics.
Well, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was we, Jeremiah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Yes. Listen, man, I put up on Instagram this morning, I put God as my president.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that because I don't care who's running. I know who's really running things, okay? Because that's the only thing I can do right now is lean on faith because what's going on out here is ridiculous.
Now, we were talking about businesses owned by African-Americans that we can support, and we were saying that they were far and few.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying that, you know, we need to own more things of substance.
Like,
we need more banks. We need hospitals. We need grocery stores. Like that's what we need. We need things like that for us, by us, owned by us.
Absolutely. And what Dr. Umar Johnson was saying the other day was so true. I remember being 21, 22 years old, trying to get a loan for a business when I was trying to open up. This is before I opened up my car wash and before I opened up the sneaker store, and I couldn't get a loan. It was very difficult to get a loan at that time. But I had a Range Rover. I got that loan easily.
Yeah.
I was able to get my crib, and that was at the time a $500,000 house when I bought my first house. I was able to get a lot of other things, but they would not give me a business loan. And my credit was good and everything was right, but they would not give me that loan.
I mean, a lot of things I see us focusing on for the past 15, 20 years has to do with some form of entertainment. You know what I'm saying? We know how to open up a record label. We don't know how to invest money to open up our own grocery stores. And we've had enough multimillionaires that have come through the hood in the past 20 years that can do those kind of things.
Right.
You know? They just don't for whatever reason, probably because they don't know how. Or they don't look at that as a form of income. When I walk around on this planet, all I see is money. Like this newspaper I'm holding in my hand, somebody's making a coin off it. You know what I'm saying? These markers that I'm writing with, somebody's making a coin off it. So, I mean, for me, that's why I start thinking. I don't look at the popular ways to make money. I just look at ways to make money, period. I look at what people need.
Well, the problem is most people only see the popular way because that's what they're raised on. That's what they see. You know? If you are from the hood, you are inspired to be a basketball player. You're inspired to be a rapper. You're inspired to be a producer. You're inspired to be a DJ because that's what you see.
We all just want to be successful, and those are the people that we see that are successful that look like us, period. Right, but I'm just saying we need more things of substance.
Absolutely.
And that's not, like, you know, there's a lot of black-owned hospitals. At one point in this country, it was a lot of them. A nice bit. But they all sold themselves to national major hospital chains mm-hmm. and corporations.
Right.
But we need to get those things back. Start investing in that type of stuff.
Would you do it? Would you invest in your own stuff?
Absolutely.
Just making sure.
Without question.
Some people out there would say, like Angela Yee said earlier, that they don't want a black doctor or they don't want a black lawyer.
I didn't say I don't want that.
I didn't say you said it. I said you said earlier that people say, don't be so defensive.
No.
That people don't want a black lawyer.
I don't want people to misconstrue what you're saying.
People that say they don't want a black accountant or people would not like, you know, somebody black representing them. So
let's be clear.
Some people feel that way.
I'm always for a good investment. You know what I'm saying? And if somebody's doing something that's thinking out left field, out of the box, like all that. We do entertainment now. We mm-hmm. know that's fleeting. That comes and goes. But something that's going to be around for a while, something of some substance, absolutely. I'm all in for that all the time.
I'm with you. All right. Well, don't forget, Denzel Washington will be joining us. Well, his son.
Stop saying that, man.
Well, his son.
It's
will
so
be,
disrespectful
his
to
son
him.
Will be
his name is John David
morning.
Washington. He plays Ricky on Ballers.
That's right. Well, we'll be kicking it with him in a little bit. And we got rumors coming up.
Well, let's talk about Power, the season premiere. How did that show do? We'll tell you about all of the records that it broke. And then we'll tell you about a rapper who is opening a restaurant in Atlanta.
Okay. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the
gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, how well did the premiere of Power do on Starz? Apparently, 2.26 million people watched it live, okay?
Wow. Very well deserved.
So that is a viewership record for Starz. It's the most ever for a Starz original series.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Power. By the way, Power keeps breaking its own records. Because we're constantly announcing that Power is the highest-rated show on Starz, the highest-rated premiere. He keeps breaking his own record.
It was the most watched episode in Starz history.
Very well-deserving. The only thing I hate about Power is the fact that my TV does not say play next episode when the episode is
you
over.
You got to wait a week.
I don't want to wait a week. I want to binge watch it.
So you know 50 Cent was going off about it, right? I saw he posted a picture of Diddy and everything.
Diddy? I missed that.
What does Diddy got to do with Power?
50 crazy. I missed that one.
50, don't do. Why? Don't be that petty.
You
what does Diddy
petty.
Have to do with anything?
He must have took it down. I don't see it anymore.
Diddy don't even do TV. Oh, Revolt. Never mind.
He does Revolt.
I forgot. We got
Revolt. He has a whole network.
You're right.
And we're on it right now.
I forgot all about that.
All right. Now let's discuss 2 Chainz. He is going to be getting into the restaurant business. He's partnering with Hookah Hideaway owner Michael Dillard. He's going to open Escobar Restaurant and Tapas. Okay, that's going to be in Atlanta. So he tweeted out, I think it's time I let y'all in on my newest venture as an entrepreneur. The spot is called Escobar Lounge, my first club lounge in the city of Atlanta off Peter Street. God is good. We'll be giving opportunities and hiring reliable employees in the near future.
Let me ask
One
you a question.
Love, 2 Chainz.
Here's a trivia question, right? If it's a Spanish restaurant, is it still a black restaurant?
Is it black-owned? If it's black-owned, yes, it's a black-owned Spanish restaurant, you dumbass.
I'm just asking.
I'm not even the highest grade of weed in dispensary, and I know that. It's a black-owned Spanish restaurant.
Okay.
Stupid as I am, I can understand that.
That sounds right to you?
That sounds perfectly right. A black-owned Spanish restaurant. They got Chinese-owned black hair stores. Why not? Yeah, why not?
Okay, all right.
All right, guys. Kelly Price. People were upset at her. Now,
who?
Envy, you were here.
Kelly Price.
Oh.
Kelly Price. You were at the Indiana Black Expo, right?
She was there.
Yeah, she was there. Do you
she's
know why people
big?
Were mad?
Huh?
She's still big?
No, I think she lost some of that weight, but she's still big, though.
Well, people were going in on her because she was at the Gospel Showcase, and
she was performing,
and she sang As We Lay.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that song is about committing adultery. And so they were upset that she would sing a song like that. I'm going to explain what happened, though.
She didn't know.
Yeah, it's about a man and a woman having an affair.
Okay.
So people were mad that they...
What's the problem? It was a gospel the segment.
God's not around.
Gospel Expo.
I can't ask for forgiveness for adultery.
Now, what really happened was, okay, the Indiana Black Expo tweeted out and put on Instagram, they thanked Kelly Price for participating in the We Love Music Conference, but they said she was never scheduled to perform as part of the gospel explosion. She was originally scheduled to perform 2 songs at 3 p.m., which was an hour before the start of that. So people got confused because the schedule changed. So when she went on, they thought it was part of the gospel expo, but it was really supposed to be earlier.
It doesn't matter.
She posted a series of clips as well, saying that church bigotry is unacceptable. acceptable.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't stand you judgmental church contradictory folks.
She said either truly represent Christ's views and his love or shut up. Christians are the ones who make Christ look bad. We cannot win people because all they see is hate and shade. I'm God's child, too.
Yeah, and this is my thing. The earth is God's turf, right? All of this is created by God. God is omnipresent. So what's the difference between performing As We Lay at the iHeart Festival and performing it at a gospel convention? It's all
just
the same.
It was just the people that was there. What happened was it was an all-day thing, and during certain times, certain people had certain times to perform. Like, I DJed at a certain time. If I had a DJ between 3 and 4, they'd have got at me, too, because some of the music I played was secular.
It don't matter. You play that music anyway. Right. In other places.
Well, Enrico
God
loved,
is always a present.
This is Rico Loves Expo, so part of his expo was he did
part.
The We Love Music, yeah. So he just wanted to make it clear that she had no clue. It was the gospel portion of the show. She was asked by me to come, he said, and be part of my We Love Music conference.
I'm not going to lie. When I read that story, I thought that she just did a gospel rendition, like As We Lay at the Feet of Jesus. No. I didn't think of anything that she was actually doing the song about adultery.
No. And that cares? Is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
If you're committing adultery, that's who you need, God, anyway. So why not be at the gospel convention or expo or whatever it is performing that record?
All right. Now, when we come back, thank you, Yee, for those rumors.
Some of y'all cheating with the pastor right now, but I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to mind my business.
A lot of women, a lot of females been going crazy on Twitter, Instagram, and social media.
Oh, my gosh. Can I tell you, all my friends have been hitting me up about this guy.
You know, one of your friends hit me up about this guy. Was like, "Oh my God, he's so hot. He's definitely fine." I was like, "Slow down, thirsty."
One of my homegirls definitely hit me this weekend and said he's gonna be there on Monday.
I don't know how she knew.
I don't know either, but she wanted me to hook him up.
All right, when we come back, Denzel Washington's son, actor John David, he's from the HBO show Ballers.
I think that he would like for you to lead with John David from the HBO show's Ballers,
he
who
plays
happens
Ricky
to be
on Ballers.
Denzel Washington's son.
Now, you lead with the big stuff.
I think so. But I think that he would rather you lead with his name first. He's his own man.
You got to lead with the big stuff. Denzel Washington, and they listen, and then you go, son. Then they might not be listening. Then you got to say, actor John David Quick from HBO show Ballers.
Ballers is a big enough show, I think, that people watch.
All right. When
we
come back.
From the show starring The Rock, Ballers, we have John David Washington, who plays Ricky on the show.
Well, John David, you just got to keep your grind going, bro.
See what I'm saying?
At this point in your life, everybody comes before
it's
you.
The Rock.
I'm sorry. Yes, The Rock. It's
his
dad. It's just, this is what it is.
Yeah, all right. When we come back, we'll talk to him. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was One Dance Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. He introduced himself as John David.
That's right.
J.D.
John
J.D.
David.
J.D. What's that name?
This guy's getting a lot of now, by the way, man.
That's how
a lot
of
women love this man.
Why do they love him so much?
I guess because they think he's attractive.
He's a star of the show Ballers.
Nah, that's true.
It's an ensemble.
We got Omar Benson Miller. We got Troy Garrity. We got Andy Garcia.
The Rock
you're
is the
featured
face
baller
of it.
On the show, He's, though.
I'm one of the athletes.
Now you played at Morehouse, right?
Yes, I did.
And then you was in the Canadian Football League.
Morehouse has a football team.
He played for the St. Louis Rams.
First of all, we do have a football team.
I didn't know that.
Yes, she did. Now we had to bring our own equipment, bring our own, you know, goalposts, stuff like that, but it was legit. You know, we had refs from time to time.
Yeah, refs. Yeah. Now, you tried out for the St. Louis Rams. I was
practice squad 2 seasons, and that was a great experience, a wonderful experience.
Did you make the team?
Nah, I never did. My first carry in the league started at our own goal line, at the one-yard line, rushed for 9 yards. Peyton Manning was against Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. So it was a very memorable moment, and I didn't really touch the field after that.
Did you think you would get into acting eventually?
I always wanted to do it my whole life.
Even before football?
It was, definitely before. It preceded the football quest because I saw my father do Shakespeare in the Park when I was like 5 years old. And he's my favorite writer, Shakespeare.
Now, who's your father again?
For people that don't know.
His last name's Washington.
Denzel Washington.
Isaiah. Okay, I remember Isaiah Washington. It's Isaiah Washington's son.
Exactly. No, not that one.
Denzel is your dad.
God bless him. But, yeah, and my mother actually was making more money than he was when they started. She was on Broadway, Juilliard.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, a pianist, classically trained. You know, she was getting on their first date. She paid for the date.
Whoa.
Damn,
wow.
See, ladies? That was a good investment.
That was a great investment.
I'm going to tell you what your mom did. She was reaching for her wallet, hoping that he was going to be like, no, I got this.
Oh, is that what she did?
He didn't.
He didn't have it, though. Right.
That's why he has it now every time.
Right.
Whatever you want, babe.
Right. But you know, it's interesting, though, because when you have a legendary father like you do, mm-hmm. a lot of children don't want to do what they did because it's hard to fill those shoes.
Well, that's what football served as. It was my independent card. There was nothing. I earned my own scholarship. I'm very prideful about that. Very proud of that because they didn't pay for my schooling. Mm-hmm. I was able to make the All-American team. I was ranked nationally coming out of high school. I took it very seriously because it was all I had. It was my, again, independent card. So I wanted to act, but I became almost scared and apprehensive later, like around 1920, because I was already in this lane of ball.
1920?
No, what? When I was 19 years old, 20.
Oh,
years old.
No, 19. No wonder your dad looks so young. Y'all preserving each other? I'm like, 1920?
We don't talk about that. But no, so yeah, it was it was my quest to make it. I did it as far as I could.
Was it odd when your dad would come to the games? Because, I mean, he would take the shine from you playing.
It was all good because I had a helmet on. So, it was like, who's that Washington kid? Who's that kid running the ball? And, oh, that's Denzel Washington's kid? Oh, wow, we didn't know.
But you also ended up in the movie Malcolm X.
Oh, yeah.
What role did you play in Malcolm X?
Oh, you gotta watch it to the very end. There's kids that stand up and say, I'm Malcolm X. And I'm the first kid up.
Did you want to do that? Or was your dad like, come on, just come get a little camera?
No, Spike showed love on that. Mm-hmm. He said, go ahead and step up and do it. I did about seven takes. And, it was fun.
You got paid?
Nah. I did not.
That's a very memorable part in that movie, though. You strike me. No, it is, though.
Is it really?
Hell, yeah. The
kids?
Yes. Oh, cool. That part was strong.
Oh, good. Because
after you watch the whole 20 hours of the movie.
I know, right?
And then at the end, I am Malcolm X. You're like, yes, I am Malcolm X as well.
Thank you.
You seem like you don't like to tell people that's your pops.
Absolutely not. And
like I said, he came in and said, hey, I'm John David.
Right, yeah, I don't. And that, again, football helped with that. You know, I was able to just... I know acting, it would be obviously the subject that always gets brought up. But that's what it is. And that's why I talk about Pauletta Washington.
Right.
Because because she, in a lot of ways, in her own right, was more talented.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. Now,
that is a holiday discussion.
No.
See, there you go. No. I just want to bring awareness. You know, moms. Wow.
She was a classically
matter.
Trained pianist.
Thank you.
Yes,
right. So it's very important that I said that.
So why didn't she keep it going?
She wanted to be there for us. I wasn't raised by a nanny. I wasn't raised by handlers. I was raised by a village of my family, my grandparents. Carolina, North Carolina, Catawba County, rootin' tootin' Newton. That's
okay,
right.
Okay.
And every summer, springs, we'd be out there, and she was very hands on. You know, and I think that was very important in my upbringing. Is the made me the person I am today. Humble first, God fearing man.
I mean, you have various fathers in your life too, though. You had John Q. You had Malcolm X.
That's a good point.
But then you had Training Day, Alfonso.
Because I'm sure he brought some of those roles home.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I wouldn't. I was playing football, so I was in my lane.
Well, hopefully not Mo Better Blues. Dad.
Oh, Bleak. You remember that? Yeah, Bleak.
I know a girl that really likes you, bro. I'm being honest with you, dead ass.
Like, don't try to hug nobody.
I
promise
really
to God.
She texted me. She texted me this weekend. She was like, "I heard you got my crush coming Monday," and I was like, "Who?" I didn't even know. I forgot. And then they told me you was coming, and I was like, "Yo, you want me to hook you up?"
Who is this person?
I'm gonna show you a picture.
Oh, God.
No, you know her.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow it up. Though.
Is she an artist?
I'm not gonna blow it up.
Is she a dentist?
Hold on.
Did she graduate from college? Can she read? Is she educated?
I'm going to just show you the picture.
Are you single first before you look at this picture?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Depending on who it is.
Oh, you guys are, you guys have a beef, don't you?
No.
Hey, I saw y'all right here. Y'all were getting...
Little mama?
No. didn't y'all have a quarrel here once before?
Nah, that's the homie, though.
Oh, okay.
Azalea Banks.
So you want the lob?
How long? Let's wait till a commercial break.
Okay, all right, I got commercial you. I got you. Lil Mama. Go to the
Azalea. Shout out to Azalea Banks, by the way.
All right, we have more with John David Washington. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Excuse Me, Miss. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now we have John David Washington in the building. That's Denzel Washington's son.
Is there a certain nepotism in Hollywood that comes with being Denzel's son?
I certainly hope not. I mean, I earned this job. I auditioned, what, 9 times, played 2 different characters. The creator of our show, Steve Levinson, was the last to sign off. You know, he was the hardest critic. So, who works with Mark Wahlberg. So I feel like I've proved myself to be able to get this job. So I don't think so.
Let's talk about ballers a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, because they actually do use real NFL team names, which I didn't know you could really do that.
Me neither.
So there's no legal issue? Or?
Maybe there is.
I heard the NFL was mad about ballers.
Yeah, I heard that too.
They were upset about the
Mark Wahlberg actually said that the NFL was mad about the show, and the commissioner had actually said to him, this is not a good idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
And then Mark Wahlberg said he thought it was a good thing because you get the word out there with the crazy stuff, the financial side of it, get these guys to realize they got to be more careful with what they do with their money.
Right. The mandate, I think, for us is to educate, especially the guys coming. 90% of the players in the NFL dreamt about being there since they were like 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing like motivated millionaires. And you see that especially in playoff play, but like how you manage your money, it's not taught, it's not instituted in these young kids' heads. So I think it's important for us to show that we have a responsibility to do that through this medium. And so, I mean, with all the negative stuff that comes with it, they're human beings as well. You see human beings portrayed, human beings on the show, and they have faults, and they have, you know, there's controversy, they have major decisions to make. In season 2, you see that with Ricky's character. You're going to see he has a lot. The word is discernment. He has to really figure out what he's going to do in the latter part of his years. And that transitional point, too, of a football player. Like, a good example of that is Curtis Martin. I don't know if you guys know who Curtis Martin is. Jet. He was a Jet.
Yeah, Jet.
And he's transitioned beautifully from football to businessman. And we need more examples like that. He needs to come on this show and talk about his transition, because a lot of NFL players get lost, or football players in general get lost, because you've been doing this since you were like 7 years old. Your body's acclimated to around the August, September time. It's time to play ball. It's time to strap up. And when that's gone, a big piece of you is gone. And I'm no exception. I my first check I got, and I'm pretty smart with my money. I'm conservative, really. I bought a flat screen TV. You know what I mean?
So that doesn't sound too crazy.
To me, it is, because I was in an extended stay with a flat screen TV. I was like at the Candlewood Suite.
What the hell is Denzel Washington doing in an extended stay? Why you want to struggle so bad for no reason?
Because I feel like I earned it. That's what it's all about. You know?
Now, let me ask you, you played football. If you had a son, would you let your son play football?
Absolutely, positively not.
Why?
Because
it
breaks your heart. Not even the physical part, the business will break your heart. Not the NFL stands for not for long.
I agree.
Well, aren't you kind of glad then that things didn't work out with, you know, your football career with the Rams?
I'm so blessed that it happened the way it did. Playing in the UFL, playing in Germany, I got those experiences. I got to see what business is like. Mm-hmm. You know, and the best man, the best woman doesn't necessarily get the job.
Right.
You know, I've seen politics. I'm not saying that it worked against me, but the Denzel factor worked against me in that medium.
They teased you a lot.
I feel like you might have been fighting your passion for a long time. Because I feel like your passion probably was acting.
It was.
But you probably was like, nope, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly.
Because I don't want to be in my father's shadow.
Exactly. It was a positive rebellion crusade, if you will, because football was still, I used it for my benefit. I took all that, I guess, resentment from people judging me, or I making friends. I'm always questioning: are they really into me? Are they really like me me? Or is it because of who my father is, who my parents are?
Mm-hmm.
So I used it to push me through certain hurdles of life. But yeah, I wanted to do this my whole life. I've never been happier. I can definitely tell you that.
Was your dad around much? Because I'm sure he was shooting movie after movie movie.
And he was, and I'm so thankful that he was.
Why?
Because he was a father that provided. He was a father that went to work, didn't apologize for it, worked hard, and those values, those hard work, that lunch pail, helmet, going to work every day, is instilled in all of us.
Because there's two different types of dads: there's a father that's always there, and then there's the father that provides, that can not be there as much. And with you, did that affect you much with your dad not being there as much? Because I try to look at my son and be like, I try to be there as much as possible, but then I got to go get that bacon, though.
Right.
Was your daddy Malcolm X or Malcolm Little is what he's called.
Wait, well, oh, right, Red. You mean Red? Was he Red?
Yeah, was he Red?
He's an educated man. He's a preacher's kid. My grandfather was a preacher. Mm-hmm. So he understood certain values. And again, I'm just a lucky child. We're all four of us. It's four of us. I'm the oldest. And we're lucky to have him in our lives.
Are you afraid that since you play a football player named Ricky on the show, that eventually on the show somebody may pull up in a red Hyundai and shoot at you?
Oof.
What the?
Charlamagne the God, ladies and gentlemen. There it is, right there. No, I'm not fearful of that. I guess it is a possibility. I'm not fearful. I don't get you. What do you mean?
You never seen Boys in the Hood?
Of course, but I get it. I get the reference. I get it. Shout out to Singleton, you know.
Laugh at your father's memes?
He was in character. He's a method actor. He's in character, all right? And that's that New York thing with the sweatsuit and all that. That's that Mount Vernon, baby. You know, he's very comfortable in his own skin and mustache.
Who was he playing?
Magnificent Seven.
That's coming out. Yeah, that looks dope.
Antoine Fuqua. And they're doing their thing.
Now, you said you laugh at your father's memes. Have you ever showed him any of the Uncle Denzel memes?
My siblings do. Like my sisters, man, they're tough. They're a tough crowd, and they keep up with all that stuff, and they humble him.
How does he react?
Like, what is that? What? Nah, that's funny. Ha ha ha. And then he just keeps it moving.
You really don't like being asked questions about your pops. I understand. I wonder what is the actual pressure though.
What do you mean? What kind of pressure? I don't feel it. What do you mean?
Like just in general, like
from what questions?
What's the problem of being a superstar's son?
He probably wants to talk about what he has going on instead of talking about being...
Did you have trust issues growing up with people?
Like I alluded to before, it does make it tricky making friends and relationships, significant others, all that. I've been in two relationships and they both faltered because of the trust thing.
Really?
Paranoid by nature.
They wanted a picture for the gram with Denzel.
it might have been my own paranoia that sabotaged the relationships. They were actually they were okay in hindsight. It was me, like...
Do you like me for me?
Exactly. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I mean, it's a blessing to have two very active and alive, healthy parents, and a strong family. So all the accomplishments, accolades aside, just to have that in today's world and the climate of what's going on, it's very. I'm very, very happy.
Well, if it means anything, when I first watched the first season of Ballers, I just thought it was a dope show. I didn't know you was his son until after the fact. If it means, you know,
that
I
means
that means
everything.
So I'm like, I had no clue. I didn't know that.
Really? That's right. Thank you. So then that means I'm doing my job.
And I know people around you, they never even said that you is.
Well, that's why I've been a bit apprehensive to doing certain kinds of press or getting myself out there because that'd be the subject. And at least I'm trying to build a catalog here. This is a real thing. I take it serious. I'm studying right now, HB Studios. I'm hoping to do Shakespeare in the Park next summer. Those are my aspirations.
Speak to him. Do you ask him about advice?
He's that tough love New York thing. Like, you ain't done nothing. You ain't done nothing.
He's telling you the truth, though.
Exactly. I got it, Pop.
You can't compare your career to his either. There's not too many people who can.
Well, it's an anomaly. What he's done.
Does he watch Ballers?
Nah. He doesn't even watch it. I don't want to say it on the air with
say it, man.
Nah,
he didn't like it.
Nah. I'm not
he didn't
say
like it.
My mom watches it. She watches it. My brothers and sisters, they support me and they love the show. They love what it's about and they promote it.
It almost seems like, you know, when your dad is that great, you can never be as good. So he's like, nah, I don't like how you did that. That's what it seems like. Like, I do that with my son. No matter how good my son is, like, oh, well, you should have just left instead of right.
See that? It's a good thing, though.
All right, we got more with John David Washington when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Kent Jones with Don't Mind. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have a special guest, of course, John David Washington in the building. That's Denzel Washington's son.
We saw, like, O'Shea Jackson Jr. He played Cube. That's how he got his break.
Mm-hmm.
And him playing Cube has attention on him. Now, would you ever play your father in a biopic since you want to separate yourself so much?
Wow. I shouldn't cuss. Because I have Pastor Bernard in here, right?
Yeah, a lot of pastors. You got a pastor coming right after you, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pastor
John Gray. Heavens no. I would never.
Why not?
Why? Again, because he's DW, man. Can't nobody be him. Can't nobody.
But you're an actor.
Yeah, if anybody could get close, it's you.
I would never do that. never. I wouldn't disrespect. Nah, that'd be disrespectful.
What do you hope that people get out of watching the show Ballers? As we said before, Mark Wahlberg was saying this is going to be a good educational lesson for some of the players out there. I know we all read that article a while back when they said 70% of all football players end up going broke within, I think, like 7 years or something like that.
Three years.
Yeah. NBA, yeah. I think it was like, anyway.
Well, because none of the money's guaranteed in football. I mean, you get a signing bonus. Mm-hmm. But that's about it. You're playing for incentives. And it's a health-based contract as well. You don't usually play all 16 games every year. So that has a lot to do with the stipulations within the contract. But I hope people see human beings, these young adults, having to be grown men like that. I mean, instantaneously, their life changes right after the draft. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as the check comes in, their life has changed. They got to take care of mama, take care of cousin, take care of Pookie and all of them. And you don't realize that
They're not really making money like that.
Exactly. And so, you know, this kind of lifestyle, this luxurious lifestyle, it fades fast. And then you're left with bupkis, right? And then you get depressed. Depression kicks in and, you know, just the pressure cookers of having to maintain the stability, financial stability of all your significant friends and others and family. That's pressure. And so for people to see that, they're just human beings. Mm-hmm. They might be able to do superhuman things on Sundays, Monday nights, but they feel... They hurt just like y'all, just like everybody else. They go through real things.
Yeah, we see with the adultery and everything that happens on there and the cheating on the girlfriends.
I mean, you don't have to be a ball player. Right. I think athletes unfairly are at the forefront of that promotion of adultery is the word you used.
Mm-hmm. Or cheating.
Cheating.
I mean, even seeing one episode, the side piece kills him in the car. So they're driving.
Oh, right, that's the opening beat of the show.
The pilot.
Yeah, the pilot, right. So, I mean, but this happens everywhere. You know, I mean, the guy at McDonald's can still be a cheater.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? He's like, he's cooking up your fries, and he's got three women on the side. You know what I mean? So it happens. You know, this is just real life situation.
Now, all the celebrity women who have wanted to sleep with Denzel over the years and can't because he's married, right? I know you want to distance yourself from him, but what if they wanted to give you some?
True.
What if Angela Bassett was like, yo.
That's a good question.
That's disrespectful. Shout out to Courtney.
I love Angela Bassett.
You know, I think he's nominated.
Oh, I forgot she's married.
Hello.
My bad, Angela.
Take it easy.
Somebody else.
Yeah, please. Sinai Lathan. Sinai's like, look.
That's a good one. That's a good question.
Look, son.
All right. Oh my God! And she's like in a relationship too, right?
French Montana, that's nothing.
Allegedly,
ouch. I don't know. I'm looking at her.
Allegedly. French might love her.
That's my guy.
That's love is in the air.
But would you take advantage of these celebrity women that wanted to get with you?
Nah,
they couldn't get with your pops.
Nah, I wouldn't.
You don't want no perks from being
Denzel. He's already said over and over again that it's hard for him to even trust women because he wants to know if they like him for him. Why would he want to be with somebody because they want to sleep with him?
Because he said she's smash.
Are you listening to me? Because she is.
No, he didn't say be with. He said smash. There's a difference.
I, that's what I'm saying. Like, you listening to her? She's talking about relationships. I'm talking about.
He doesn't even use his social media. He doesn't go around penis everywhere.
Do that again. Tell him what I'm
saying. I want to give all thanks to God. Glory to God for having me be here and join y'all
God
today. He did it? Yeah, I
can. Yeah, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, he did.
Well, is there anything else you want to tell us about that you have coming up? We know season 2 of Ballers just started.
Yeah,
I saw you last night with you using the chainsaw to cut the ice up.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, just continue to watch and watch the character grow. Trying to do more things. I'm auditioning, like, as we speak. I'm trying to promote.
Your father still auditions, too, though, which people don't realize.
He does?
He doesn't? Somebody lied to me. You know what? Somebody lied to me. Somebody told me they saw Denzel.
That nigga ain't auditioning since I've been alive. At least 20 years.
I promise you somebody told me they saw Denzel at an audition. I said the same thing. Like, Denzel still auditioning?
Yeah, maybe he was reading people, like auditioners.
Oh,
he directed a new film, too. My sister worked on that with him as well. I got to shout out my siblings, too, man. My sister Olivia, she's on Mr. Robot on Wednesdays, USA.
Okay, she acts, too?
She's the actress. Now, my father promotes her. My pops said, I'm not lying. My pops
is this
like,
what this is about?
No.
You want more promotion from the label?
No, I don't. Because he tells the truth. And he's like, yo, Olivia, my sister named Olivia, you're going to win an Oscar one day. And I believe it. I know it.
So she what did he tell you?
Keep grinding.
Keep grinding.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you too can be in a Tyler Perry movie. You'll be in a Tyler Perry movie one day, sir.
Damn.
Goodness.
What does he tell you? He just says, keep grinding.
He just said, just keep
grinding. He don't believe in you?
Of course he believes
in you. He just knows how hard it's going to be for you.
He just knows the truth is, and I agree, is Olivia Washington. She's the real deal.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to hook you up with this girl. Because you got to get something out of being Denzel's son.
I am. I got life.
I'm pretty sure he can hook himself up.
Thank you.
And by the way, she did not say Denzel's son. I asked her. She said, major key. She said, my crush is coming. And I said, who? And she said, John David. And I text Q, and I was like, yo, who coming Monday? Who is John David? I didn't know who that was.
I like that.
I had to think about it.
I like that.
No, I didn't. This guy is all Khaled over here. All right, well, we got John David Washington.
Thank you, sir.
The man said John David. No
middle name either. JD. John David is one name. I don't have a middle name. Only one in the family without a middle name.
So you just made up John David?
Wow, they just really treat you crazy.
John David was a Heisman Trophy winner. My father loved football. So
David ain't even your name?
Come on, man. John David is my name, I just don't have a middle name.
He has two first names.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
John D, John Q son, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the Breakfast Club, good boy.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, yesterday it was reported that Taylor Swift was thinking about filing a crime report.
Okay.
That is for Kanye and Kim secretly recording her and then releasing that recording. Now, everybody knows in California that you just can't do that.
Everybody knows that.
Right. It's you can't record a phone conversation unless all parties agree.
Right.
Well, here's some new news, and this was on TMZ. The problem is that if someone records a confidential communication, the other party has to consent. But if that conversation may be overheard, then it's no holds barred. So apparently,
Kim overheard it.
Well, it's not just that, but Rick Rubin was there. They said in the full conversation, Rick Rubin was speaking from the background, and members of the crew that were filming Kanye also were in the room speaking, so she knew that other people were in the room and could hear her.
I mean, you have to know when you're on the phone with a Kardashian or in the presence of a Kardashian, cameras are probably rolling, right?
Yep. Well, Kanye's not a Kardashian.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Only a Kardashian would call Taylor Swift and ask for permission, you know, to approve lyrics.
Are you saying he got soft?
No hip-hop artist should do that. Hip-hop artists have the most freedom of speech of any rapper. They say what they want. They speak what they want. He should not be calling no pop artist to get permission to put her name in a song.
All right, now guess who has joined Empire as a series regular?
Tyrese.
Tay Diggs.
Close.
Same difference.
Now, the season 3 premiere is on September 21st, and he is going to be joining. He has a major recurring role, and he is going to play a councilman, a city councilman, who kind of reminds you of Barack Obama. He went to Harvard Law School, got his diploma from there, and he is also focusing his energies on community organizing and local politics.
Okay.
So a lot of people are saying this is very reminiscent of our president, Barack Obama. All right, Bill Cosby is now completely blind, according to a source. They said he's in
Don't
his
laugh.
Own... What is so funny, Charlamagne?
Because, man, I told Bill to die 3 years ago, man. Being blind isn't enough, Bill. You should have just clocked out, bro.
Well, people just can't die. You just can't say die and they die.
Listen, being blind isn't enough, Bill. You should have just clocked out.
They said right now only his very loyal wife, Camille, is at his side, as well as a small group of lawyers and people that he's been having to work with and keep on his payroll.
So his wife is back? Because I thought she was gone at one time.
No, she hasn't left. She's been very loyal to him throughout everything. He's confined to his house in Pennsylvania. He can't really go anywhere. He has a degenerative eye condition. It's called keratoconus, and it causes the eye's cornea to bulge. So, yeah. They just said on Monday that he can sue Andrea Constant, who she says that he drugged and raped her in 2004 for breaching that confidentiality agreement that she signed with him because they settled out of court. So now the judge did give permission just yesterday that he can go ahead and sue her back.
You know, if Bill Cosby didn't have all these rape allegations, you know how sad people would feel that Bill Cosby, America's dad, is blind?
Instead, you laugh.
Yes.
That's a shame.
But you know what? In court, he can't be proven guilty.
Why
say,
not?
Point is this the lady that said...
Okay, shut up. Shut up, Andy. I don't need you to talk no more today. I mean, seriously, honestly.
I'm serious.
We
that
can
is
do
good.
Without you. Don't you mix at 9? Don't talk to you mix. Just play the music.
No, I'm serious, though.
You don't have to talk in the 8 o'clock hour.
Envy is a genius.
It's okay.
You're a genius.
We don't need you to talk.
Be a good defense because he can't point out the people that are charged.
I'm legally blind.
Then. There you go. But shut up. See?
I told Bill Cosby to die 3 years ago.
And
man.
That is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
Because I saw where this was going. I've never seen a legacy torn down the way Bill Cosby's legacy has been torn down. Ruined. Y'all ain't even do this to R. Kelly and Michael Jackson, and they allegedly touch kids. Okay?
Okay. All right, that's your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
Thank you, Miss Yee.
You're welcome.
Charlamagne!
I can't see.
Yo, shut up, man.
Where's Charlamagne?
He's over there.
All right, keep playing if you want to. Bill Cosby wasn't always blind. Better be careful, ye.
I haven't done anything.
Charlamagne?
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
I'm going to let the chopper fly. I got a couple shots I need to land. I need, first of all, what's the lady name? What's Donald Trump's wife's name?
Melania Trump.
Melania Trump. She needs to come to the front of the congregation. Matter of fact, I just need the whole Donald Trump presidential campaign to come to the front of the congregation.
There you go.
I ain't let the chopper fly on Trump in a minute.
All right. We'll get to that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang donkey of the day. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heave-ho.
It's The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, July 19th goes to Melania Trump. Listen, man, the only reason I had interest in the Republican National Convention last night is because the greatest comedy in America right now is being created by Donald Trump's presidential campaign. There is no sketch that the Wayans brothers or Neil Brennan and Dave Chappelle ever wrote that is funnier than Donald Trump's presidential campaign right now. I mean, just yesterday, I had a couple really great laughs because of Donald Trump's campaign. It was announced that Donald Trump appointed ex-Apprentice star Omarosa Manigault as director of African-American outreach for his campaign. There isn't too many names that are blacker than Omarosa Manigault. But just because you have a black name doesn't mean you connect with black people, because Omarosa has to be top three most disconnected from the black experience, black people out here. Now, this is hilarious to me. My man Craig Melvin, salute to Craig Melvin, South Carolina all day. Craig Melvin of MSNBC presented Omarosa Manigault with a poll showing that none of the African-American voters in Ohio said Trump would get their vote. Omarosa Manigault replied, "I'm wondering who they polled, because I just spent an amazing weekend with African-Americans for Trump, and I'm surrounded by people who want to see Donald Trump as the next president of the United States who are African-American." Omarosa, when you say you are surrounded by African-Americans who want to see Donald Trump be the next president, understand that Stacey Dash and Diamond and Silk don't count, okay? And if it means anything, Omarosa Manigault, she did start her African-American outreach yesterday by liking one of my tweets on Twitter, all right? Now let's get to the donkey of the day. Melania Trump, who spoke last night at the Republican National Convention. Ladies and gentlemen, the Trumps never have anything good to say about the Obamas. They want to make America great again, which means they think America sucks now under the current leadership. If you think the current leadership is terrible, then someone please tell me why Melania Trump is out here swiping parts of Michelle Obama's 2008 Democratic National Convention speech. Michelle in 2008 delivered a speech called One Nation. I'm assuming Melania Trump's speech was called One America because it was the same damn thing. Now, we have a mashup of both speeches. I'm going to play them both together. They're not hard to tell who's who. All you need to know, Melania is the one with the accent. Keep in mind, Michelle 2008, Melania 2016.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. You work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
My parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
That you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them.
That you treat people with respect.
And Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation, because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them.
Because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
Now, in light of history, we have seen some white people do this before. Let's be real. They steal. Okay, we come with New Edition. They come with New Kids on the Block. We come with MC Hammer. They come with Vanilla Ice. We come with Jill Scott. They come with Adele. Gucci Man Makes Lemonade. They come with Don Lemon. This is just what some white people have historically done. Okay? They steal from us and don't give us credit. But thanks to the almighty internet, this plagiarism does not go unnoticed. Now, when Matt Lauer asked Melania Trump about her speech prior to the convention, she said this.
Has she gone over the speech with you? Did you practice it on the plane?
I read once over it, and that's all, because I wrote it and with a little help as possible, so...
Mm-mm-mm. Melania, you know damn well you didn't write this speech. You had speechwriters, and they didn't make up anything about this speech either. All they did was trace what Michelle Obama said in 2008. Contrary to popular belief, imitation is not the best form of flattery. Imitation is just imitation. But Michelle should take your pathetic attempt to replicate her speech as a compliment, because if I was you, I would want to be her too. Now, we reached out to the God, the greatest MC of all time, Ghostface Killer, for comment, and he had this to say about Melania Trump's speech.
Be biting mad styles. Yeah. So I be hating, man. I can't stand a biting ass.
Let me tell these niggas something, God. I don't want you to sound like me, for real, because I'm approaching nigga, man, for real, man. I don't want nobody to sound like me, man, for real, son. Keep it real, get your own man, and be original.
That's it, be original. How you just going to run off with the plug speech, okay? I know the Trumps didn't expect to be here, but you got to be prepared now with your own at this point in time. For you to steal from Michelle Obama... Damn near word for word, you can't duplicate black girl magic. The rhythm, the cadence, the delivery, even with the same exact words, it's just not the same, because sadly, Melania, when it comes to speaking and connecting to people, you're just not great. That's why they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay to greatness.
She even said, my word is bond.
Yeah, that was whack. Like, you stole that directly.
Some donkey today is just sell themselves. Give Melania Trump the biggest hee-haw, please. Now listen, we know that Donald Trump is going to be speaking at the GOP convention later this week, and he's been rehearsing his speech. He's been practicing his delivery, his cadence, his voice inflection, because he knows that he can either blow the party up or bring them together. So he's been really going hard on his speech, and we actually have audio from his rehearsals. This is exclusive audio from Donald Trump's rehearsals of his upcoming speech that he'll be giving at the GOP convention.
I have a dream.
The American dream.
One day, this big league nation will rise up,
and we will make America great again.
Live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created.
Huge.
This sounds familiar, though.
Some parts of it just sound like a little bit reminiscent of something.
I know.
Well, parts of that speech sounded great.
They did. Some parts of it sounded really, really well. Like, magnificent.
You think he took that from Hove?
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right.
I told you not to talk no more today, but you don't listen. I don't know why you don't listen.
All men are created huge.
I told you, don't talk no more today. I said, Envy, you don't have to talk no more today, but no.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir.
Okay.
Now, when we come back, we were talking about black-owned businesses. And what we want you to do is saying that they're hard to find. Angela Yee and Charlamagne were talking earlier, and we're saying there's not enough. They're far and few.
But they are out there.
They are out there.
I just feel like we need more businesses of substance. We need more black hospitals. We need black banks.
Right.
Black schools.
800-585-1051.
Black grocery stores.
We're going to open up the phone lines, and we want you to shout out a black-owned business in your city.
That's right. And if you're white and you shop at a black-owned business, you can call, too.
But not a barbershop.
Now, we know where to get haircuts.
We know where to get haircuts.
We know where to get haircuts.
We're
good with haircuts.
We need
hair
banks,
salons,
grocery stores. I want to know that kind of stuff.
With haircuts. We're good with hair salons.
Listen, if America falls out tomorrow, black people don't got nothing else. We know where to go get a haircut.
Easily.
All right?
That's right. 800-585-1051. We're asking to shout out your black-owned businesses in your city.
Yes.
Let us know where you bank at, if it's black-owned, if you grocery shop is black-owned.
Yes.
I mean, if it's a toy shop, no matter what it is, 800-585-1051. No barbershop.
Didn't you just say no? You know where to get a haircut, girl.
All right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Girl.
That was Drake Popcorn Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, we were talking about black-owned businesses this morning and said they're far and few, very hard to find at times.
I'm going to tell you why it's very important that we do this at this moment in time.
Why?
Because at this moment in time, we are starting to see an America that is not necessarily working for us. So I feel like we need to learn from other communities, and we need to start spending with our own, which is something we should have been doing a long time ago, but even more so now. And, you know, we always talk about economic boycotts, but if you do a boycott, where are you going to get your stuff?
Right.
Because you can't spend with your own. If Chinese want to do an economic boycott, they can do that because they got their own places that they can go shop at. If Jewish people want to do that, they can do that because they got their own places where they can shop at. Where would we go?
Well, you can do that. It probably just take a lot more effort.
Yes, like going out of town. Like going to Montgomery, Alabama, or Atlanta.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, let's open up the phone lines. Before we do, of course, you go to a lot of black restaurants.
I mean, we all do.
You go to Footprints, black clubs.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's the problem. That's why I keep telling y'all we need more stuff of substance. We need black grocery stores, black banks, black hospitals. Not no damn clubs. Okay? Not no damn restaurants. All that's cool.
You're right. But we got to support.
But we need stuff of substance.
You're right.
Stop it, man.
You're right.
Yeah, we know where to get a haircut.
We know where to get
a haircut.
We know where to go to the club.
We know to take our son to go record some music if you want to sign to some BS record label in the hood.
We know where to go. We go get some food.
Come on, man.
But outside of that,
we're lost.
Yeah, what are you doing? Any black-owned gas stations?
No, I don't know who owns the gas stations. I just know I look on Gas Buddy and see where I can get
the cheapest
gas.
That's all I'm saying. We need more of that.
All right, let's open up the phone lines and see. Hello, who's this?
Joanne, calling from Pompano Beach, Florida.
All right, Joanne. Black-owned businesses, tell us.
Pompano Beach. Mini Mart.
Is that like a grocery store or what?
It's like a mini mart. Yeah, somewhat of a grocery store. It's a convenience store.
Oh, it's a small store. Like one of the small stores / gas station / 7-Eleven.
A bodega.
Type.
Groceries, your everyday thing. If you need your toiletries. And also we have another black-owned business, Pompano Crab Man. Seafood, all the seafood you want.
Okay.
Pompano Crab Man and Pompano Convenience Store. Now your prices got to be good. They got to be comparable.
The prices are great, reasonable.
All right,
it's
cool.
Owned by Jimmy Innocent.
All right. Well, thank you, Mama.
Salute to her.
Hello, who's this? I think that was a he.
Hello.
That was a woman, man.
Huh? Well, you thought that was a man?
No, she said it's owned by Jimmy so and so.
Oh.
Hello, who's this?
How are you guys doing this morning? My name's Dee.
Hey, we're talking black-owned businesses.
Yes. First off, I want to tell you guys, I listen to you every morning. I'm a white woman.
Okay.
There is a black business that I actually buy hair products from off the Palmetto in North Miami, off 186. They sell all kinds of hair products, and right next to them, there's a hair business, like a hair salon.
Okay.
I bought products there. It's amazing.
The lady that just called is from the same area, too.
So it's a lot of black-owned business in Florida. What kind of hair products do you buy, Bo?
I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know, whether I'm curling my hair, straightening iron, combs.
Okay.
You know, scrunchies, everything, I buy it there.
Scrunchies.
See, I like that. I like to hear a white woman shopping at a black-owned business because we're all American at the end of the day. I'm just encouraging and trying to empower my people to own more things.
Hello, who's this?
It's Boss Lady from Boston.
Boss Lady from
I know you white.
Hey now.
Yeah, Boss Lady News. I wanted to first say to you all, I'm so glad to hear you here in Boston now.
Thank you, Boss Lady.
Absolutely amazing. And I wanted to shout out Jamal Crawford. He's got a newspaper known as the Blackstonian.
Really?
Really? Okay.
And on the Blackstonian, he has a list of Boston businesses that are black owned.
Oh, you talking about Jamal Crawford, the basketball player?
Yeah.
No.
Jamal Crawford who?
That's only Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford's the Boston resident.
He what? He does. Oh, he's just a Boston resident. Okay. Well, salute to him.
Yeah, his name just happens to be Jamal Crawford also.
She said Jamal Crawford like we knew who he
was. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. You said it like he's the ball player.
You know Jamal Crawford. Well, shout out to Jamal Crawford.
Hey, yo, and salute to I Say in New York. They just tweeted me. They do wood floors. They're a black-owned business. They do wood floors. So,
what's the name?
I Say in New York. His Twitter's at iBarrel1718.
I might need to highlight them.
Yeah, salute to them guys.
And shout out to Affordable Closets Plus.
Hello, who's this?
This is Alan calling out of Jacksonville, Florida.
We're talking black-owned businesses this morning, bro.
Yeah, we got a kid uniform store called Shop Just Kids. And we fairly new, and we sell all kids' school clothes. And it's shopjustkids.com. Right now we online, but we are in Jacksonville, Florida.
So you got all the khakis, you got all the khakis, all the socks, all the shoes,
got
all the
buttons.
That's good because a lot of kids need those for school, and they can never find them. But I'm glad you own it. Tell them the website one more time.
It's shopjustkids.com.
Good luck, bro.
Appreciate it.
Hello, who's this?
This is Sean. What's going on, Envy?
Black-owned businesses. You got one, bro?
Yes, it's a laundromat / cleaners. Black-owned. Clean Shirt Cleaners.
Okay.
182 Ralph Avenue.
In Brooklyn?
Yes, sir. In Bed-Stuy.
Really?
There you
yes,
go.
Sir.
I live in Bed-Stuy.
I've never seen a black person in the cleaners before. Own the cleaners. I've never seen
You ain't never seen the Jeffersons?
That's
punch you in your face. George Jefferson had his own cleaners. You should know that. What you mean you ain't never seen a black person own a cleaners? I used to want to have me a dry cleaners because of George Jefferson. What the hell is wrong with you, boy?
And Envy, it's probably because of where you live, too.
No, it doesn't.
Not too many black people.
I lived in Queens all my life. I moved to Jersey a couple of years ago, and I've never seen it.
You did not move to Jersey a couple of years ago.
The other day, I walked into a 7-Eleven.
How long have you lived in Jersey?
About 10 years.
That's not a couple years ago. Look, a couple is two.
The other day I was in Jersey, right, and I went to 7-Eleven, and it was black people behind the thing at 7-Eleven, and I really stopped, and I shook the owner's hand because I've never seen that before.
Hold on. A black person owned the 7-Eleven?
Yes.
Now, I've never seen a black person own a 7-Eleven. That's new.
Yeah. All right. Well, 800-585-1051. We're talking black-owned businesses. Call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Fetty Wap, Remy Boys. Morning, everybody. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're talking about black-owned businesses.
Yes.
Right, and shout out to Styles P and Jadakiss because they have the juices for life.
They actually have a car wash. They actually have something else. I think they might even... Do they have a gas station? I know they have a car wash up in Yonkers. I think they have a gas station and they have a couple of juice shops. We're actually opening a juice bar with them.
Right, in Brooklyn. I'm trying to think. Best Eye.
What else? Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Kristen from Orlando, Florida.
Hey, Kristen. We're talking black-owned businesses. Yeah, you got one?
CNC Community Pharmacy. And, it's a black-owned pharmacy, and it's been in business for over 24 years.
The only bad part about that is when you go in there to buy your Plan B or get your STD medicine, you might have some old gossipy people behind the counter that's going to tell all your business.
They're really competent. That's dope. They graduated from FAMU.
I like that. That's the type of stuff of substance we need. Black pharmacy.
Hello, who's this?
Tiffany.
Hey, we're talking black-owned businesses. You got one for us?
I got two for you. I got Black and White Ops in Detroit on 10 Mile in Southfield, Greenfield. And I got Stash House Clothing on 7 Mile in Hoover.
Okay, that's great.
What up, Doe? Shout out to everybody out in Detroit. Hello, who's this?
You know who this is, boy.
No.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did somebody say something about owning some black?
All right, that's it.
This guy. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Aisha from Champaign, Illinois.
Hey, good morning, Mama.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. We're talking black-owned businesses. You have one?
Yes, sir. It is Cool Bliss Pop Bliss in Champaign, Illinois.
What
is
that?
They also go by the name. It's a popcorn shop.
Oh, they sell popcorn. That's dope.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mama.
Thank you.
What's the ice cream man guy's name in the city? I can't remember his name. He's always on television.
Oh, the one that only sells chocolate ice cream?
No.
What is
that?
What are you talking
about? Who is that? I don't know who that is. There's an ice cream man in the Lower East Side. He sells ice cream. He's a short, dark-skinned brother.
I don't know.
He's always on all the stuff.
He refuses to sell vanilla ice cream. Vanilla ice cream is the devil. The moral of the story is support black-owned business without asking for a discount. All right? The other moral of the story is don't be a victim to circumstance. Create your own circumstances, man.
I never understand why people ask for discounts from people that they're supposed to be cool with, because you should want to give that person some money so their business can do well, I would think.
Absolutely. And another reason we should create our own circumstances, because when you got black-owned businesses, you got black decision makers, you'll hire black employees, and you'll be doing more for people in the community. I mean, think about these kids who probably go to a life of crime because they feel like they can't get no job somewhere. Or think about these people who go to jail and get out and they got criminal records and can't get no job nowhere. But when you got a black-owned business, the person owning that business understands their situation and can hire them. So I just feel like it's very important to empower your own, man.
Shout out to Revolt TV, man. Isn't that black-owned?
Yeah, Puff owns that. Shout to Ray J. He has that bike company. What's it called?
Scooty Bike.
The Scooty Bike. Shout to Rick Ross. He has a bunch of Wingstops and Checkers.
Listen, all of that is great. Mm-hmm. I love all of that.
We need more hotels.
We need more hotels, we need more pharmacies, we need hospitals, we need banks, we need things of substance. I'm glad that those guys have that, though, mm-hmm. because they can still provide jobs for other black people. We got to empower ourselves, man. Ain't nobody going to do it for us.
We need some black people on some farms.
Oh, we got those. That's one thing I meant to tell Dr. Umar Johnson the other day when he said Barack hasn't done anything directly for black people. $1.2 billion has been allocated to black farmers under the Obama administration.
That's dope.
That is a fact.
We need to start $1.2 billion
have been allocated to black farmers under the Obama administration. So any of you guys out there that's getting into agriculture, y'all could have been getting some of this bread. Mm. All right. I only know that because I got a few friends that have chicken farms and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we got some rumors coming up.
Yes, we are going to talk about Young Thug versus his baby mama. They had some back and forth on Twitter. It wasn't pretty. Also, Calvin Harris. Who is he dating now that he and Taylor Swift are not together? You guys are going to be mad.
All right. Well, we'll do that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
Gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go, Yeezy.
Ooh, well, Young Thug was going in on his kid's mom. All right. I don't know if you guys saw this happening yesterday, but he was tweeting her. And he said, my kids don't want for none, junky bum asshole. And I don't want you, baby. You're ugly and stinky, the opposite of my bitch. I pay $4,000 a month for my two kids by you, bum. But you sent a letter to my house for a child abandonment warrant. Don't ever try to embarrass me to the public, junky hoe. Me or Quan don't want you. He went on and on. He said, my kids' clothes smell like pee. Monkey bum asshole. You bring my kids to see me with ishy Pampers on and no changing clothes, but I'm unfit. My son's chain broke and you put a safety pin on it, but I'm unfit. Your little sister's still pissing the bed and she's 23. Your house is empty, but you make money. Bitch, the only income you get from is from me. The whole house smelled like piss, but I'm unfit. And he said, so okay. He was independent the whole 4 to 5 years he was together. They just went on and on and on.
Another example of why I tell people you should never breed with someone you can't see yourself spending the rest of your life with. But I tell fellas also, that's still the mother of your child. That you always have to keep in mind. So if you love your child, imagine if somebody insulted your mother. Mm-hmm. No matter how much baby mama drama you go into, just think about your kids and how you would feel if somebody insulted your mother.
Now, she went on Twitter and responded. She said, I don't get $4,000 a month. My house is fully furnished, and I make sure my kids are great. People will say and do anything when they are hurt. You're so in love, but you were the same person sitting at my mama's house saying you were not engaged and had more hoes than Kanye West clothes. And she said, I gave you two kids because you asked for them. I don't live with my mama. I have my own car. I work. School starts back August 22nd. What more can I say? Because I'm far from a junkie. So she went on and on.
That was a terrible insult. I got you. You got more hoes than Kanye West got clothes. Kanye West looked like he wears the same thing over and over.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was a line from a rap.
I don't know.
All right. Now, Calvin Harris, who is he dating now that he is no longer with Taylor Swift? She broke up with him. Well, they're saying that now he is dating Tinashe.
That's a comer for Tinashe.
They've been seeing each other for a couple of weeks. It's pretty casual right now. They've been on a few dates. They met in the studio when they did the song Dollar Signs together back in 2014. They were allegedly writing songs for Rihanna at the time. They stayed in touch, and now they're hanging out. They were spotted out on a date at Nobu in Malibu on Saturday.
I remember yesterday when somebody called up talking about Taylor Swift needs Calvin Harris to play records. No, she don't. But Tinashe, yes, she does.
How much is he worth? He's worth like what?
A lot.
50, 60 million, something like that?
It's worth Tinashe getting pregnant.
He do all right.
He do all right
out
there.
He do all right out there.
If you want to get, if you're looking to trap somebody, Tinashe, that's the one.
All right, spoken by the biggest bird in America.
You know me.
All right, Suge Knight is threatening to sue Lifetime just in case there's anything that doesn't look right, in case they talk crazy about him or make him look crazy.
Lifetime.
In the Michelle A story.
Oh.
You know, Michelle A is his ex, and she has a story coming out on Lifetime. So that's going to be an issue. Now, why didn't he sue for Straight Outta Compton? Well, apparently he was very busy with his lawsuit against Chris Brown and his murder case. Mm. So he didn't have time for that. But I guess he got time now.
Okay.
All right. He-Man is coming back. I don't know if anybody in here is familiar with...
What?
He-Man.
Castle of Grayskull?
And the Masters
what?
Of the Universe.
That I was
show,
just watching the old He-Man with Dolph Lundgren the other day.
Now you got too much time, bro.
I was literally just time. Watching it because Skeletor dies at the end and then he pops back up.
Well, it's been 20 years.
It's supposed to have been a sequel because Skeletor popped up at the end. It's been supposed to have been a sequel, yo.
Okay, you
this
good?
This guy sounds
you
mad.
Okay?
You're right over there.
Well, they're doing a new episode and it's going to be at San Diego's Comic-Con. And that should be pretty
interesting. A new episode?
Yeah, an episode. They're what? Doing a new revival of New Century He-Man and the Masters.
They're doing a movie or?
It says an episode. So they did do a movie, if you remember. They did the movie. That movie did pretty bad.
That was the movie with Dolph Lundgren. That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah,
I was watching it this weekend.
But the series was in 1983. It actually got canceled after 2 years, and that's when they had the spinoff, She-Ra. The Princess of Power.
Ooh, I remember Shira too, baby.
All right, well, that is your
this guy.
Rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. The People's Choice Mix is up next. You want to hear something? 800-585-1051. Shout out to our family at Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, get your request in for the mix, or you can hit me on the Twitter or Instagram at DJMV. Here's Jeremiah Wee. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.